Hey guys, before we roll into this next episode, I wanted to thank you all for the kind words that you've left on social media and for all of you that you have subscribed and left reviews. Those reviews help me keep this podcast free. And Matthews, one of my sponsors, was gracious enough to give me a bow to give away to one of you fans that has subscribed and left a review. So if you'd like to win a brand new Halon 32 with a 6-inch brace height and a Sitka Elevated 2 camo, all you need to do is subscribe on iTunes and leave me a review, and you'll be entered to win. And I'll be giving away that bow the first week of June to one lucky winner. So thanks again, and enjoy the next episode.
Hi, welcome to the Interviews with the Masters, brought to you by the OutdoorInsiders.com, your number one spot for inside information and quality gear. Today we have with us on the phone an up-and-coming guy that's kind of been making a little splash in social media, and mainly because he's been killing shit. Young guy, but he seems to know what he's doing, and he spends a lot of time in the field, and you know, I think age is one of those things that people get caught up on and don't realize that you can learn something from somebody who's younger than you. So we have today Kyle Wingo on the phone. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. How are you, John?
I can't complain, man. Just got done doing my last hunt for the season. I probably won't be doing, maybe get out for a little predator calling and stuff like that, but I won't be going anywhere. Just hunting outside from the house, you know, till about July. This is my off season.
Okay.
So,
sounds
how about
like
yourself?
Me at home. Yeah, just January was the last hunt. That was archery javelina, and then since then I've just been hitting the hills pretty hard. You know, calling coyotes and just whatever comes into the call, pretty much. The last couple of months I've tried to target bobcats a lot. It's been tough though.
Yeah, they're tricky.
Oh yeah,
they're tricky for sure.
It took me 3 years to kill my first one. 3 years of hard calling.
Awesome. You know, I got lucky on my first one.
Yeah.
It was probably, I want to say that maybe the fourth time I ever set up to call, I called on a bobcat and smoked one with my bow. But it took me some time thereafter to figure out the secret sauce to get him, you know, mm-hmm. to get him to come in, you know, consistently. So they're tough, you know, 'cause they're one of those ones that half the time when they come in, you don't even know they're there. You go to stand up, and that's when you figured out that you called in a bobcat. So,
that's the end of it. They're gone.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of good that you opened with that, because that's what I got you on. We're going to talk a little bit about predator hunting today. But before we get into that, tell us a little bit about what you do and a little bit about yourself.
I'm 18. I work Monday through Friday to feed this addiction. I hunt as often as I possibly can. I help everybody and anybody that I possibly can. I mean, I'm just a diehard bow hunter and predator hunter, and I've been doing it for predator hunting for roughly, only about 3 years now. But I've been bow hunting since I was 10 years old, since I was legal. That's me.
Cool. So, the questions I got, they get thrown at me all the time, and it's just nice to hear somebody else's perspective on it, because I do things, and I found this out this weekend, because I was hosting Willie Schmidt. He came over to do a little javelina hunting and a little predator hunting with me, and just hunting with him and hunting with one of my guys, Shane Egger, that one of my good friends that hunts with me all the time. We never predator hunted together, and it's just just cool to like get a little different feedback, because I when I predator hunt it, I feel like I do it much different than most people. So I'd like
And
to hear what your take.
That's how I
Go
feel.
ahead.
I've gone with buddies, and they call completely different than I do.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's like many forms of hunting. You know, everyone does it differently. Everyone sits a stand for, you know, maybe 10 minutes. Some people sit for 30 minutes, you know.
Absolutely. Everybody's got their favorite sound. Everybody's got, you know. Actually, before we jump into, do you use electronic call or do you hand call?
Mostly electronic calls. This time of year, I use a howler, but not that much, just because I've run more dogs off with it than I have called in.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
It's that hand calling thing. It's an art.
Oh, that's for sure. Yeah, I pity the people that can't use e-callers in other states.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Especially if you're bow hunting.
Exactly. It's given to you.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, if you're in a place with coyotes, you turn that thing on and you should be able to call something in, you know, as long as you can keep your movement down. And the number one thing I tell everyone is just your wind. I mean, that's with any animal.
Yeah. Yeah, wind's huge, especially with predators.
Yep.
But I'd like to hear your take on that too. I got a special thing that I do when it comes to using the wind, but first, I'm going to start off with a couple that we're going to lead into that. But
okay,
when you do you actually do scouting for your predator hunting, or you just kind of willy-nilly pick a spot?
It's just it really depends. Occasionally I'll get bored sitting at the house and I'll pop up Google Earth and I kind of do it the same way I look for deer. Kind of, but not, I like to look for big, deep washes when I'm looking for coyote areas. Google Earth is a great tool. There's plenty of hunters out there that use it. I like to look for deep washes or, big, big thickets. That's where I've seen cats often, is real thick stuff. Or water. Just all that basic stuff that you should just always look for.
Right. I feel like if you look, it's just like you said, just like hunting other big game animals, you got to look for what their needs are.
Exactly.
But there's a lot of rabbits in the area, a lot of rodents in the area, good cover, water to drink, places for them to den up.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be able to get into where they live. You're going to more likely be able to coax one over to you.
Yeah, and one thing that, you know, that I tell people occasionally, it's like I don't tell everyone it, but most guys that predator hunt know it. Just because there's just rabbits in the area or, you know, there's birds everywhere, but just because there's just rabbits in the area doesn't mean you can't play a sound other than rabbit distress, because that's a sound that everybody associates with predator hunting.
For sure. We dabbled a little bit with that this weekend. I'm not going to tell you what sound we used because I feel, one, it's not my preferred sound. It's Shane, so I don't want to give away his new secret sauce. But I think you're right. I think another thing is to use sounds that other people. Like, I feel like there's certain sounds out there that get overplayed.
Exactly.
Like Lightning Jack, for instance.
Yep.
I feel like everybody uses Lightning Jack.
But that doesn't mean it won't work either.
Oh, that's true. It's a great call and has been for years and years. But I think in those areas that get called a lot, and that's probably more the key than anything, is going to areas that don't get called a lot too. You don't
exactly
have educated dogs. Don't have educated dogs, but so.
Yeah. Yeah. And all the areas around, I live in Queen Creek, Santan Valley, and anything around here is just, you can't go an hour away from the house and expect to call coyotes. I mean, yes, you can, but no, you can't, because it's just, you know, everybody and their brother goes out there with their Fox Pro or their Ecotec or, you know, whatever else, and they turn on the Lightning Jack or the Adult Cottontail or whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume, you know, it's the same for the other side of the valley, out your direction, but it's just, I mean, it's just finding that, like you say, that sweet sauce, that sound that you turn it on and it works.
Mm-hmm. I honestly, I might have to disagree with you, because I feel like I have better success in the metro units.
Really?
And close to the house. I feel like I'm with the city dogs, I have a higher success rate. Definitely, yeah. In killing. Maybe not as much as in calling them in. It's probably about equal. But actually killing them, because they're so used to seeing people that, and they're so used to smelling people that if you screw up a little bit, I think you have a little bit more leeway.
Yeah, that is a very good point.
And I don't know, like, I also look for those pockets that people wouldn't go call in. And I think that's another reason. Like, you know, I'll look at a little 10-acre parcel of state land, you know.
Uh-huh.
I'll grab my bow and I'll go call in that. And, you know, a coyote that's roaming the neighborhoods, that's where he's living, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
And it seems to work really good for me, or at least it has in the past. I haven't been doing a lot of that lately. You know, I used to go coyote. I used to go predator calling pretty much every day, and I did that for like 6 years straight, and this is before I got married. So, now it's way, way, way toned down.
Uh-huh.
But,
yeah, it's so. I mean, I try and go every possible weekend that I can get out. I mean, you know, for those that follow me on social media, you know, Facebook or whatever it might be, they see I'm out all the time. You know, if I'm not working, I'm hunting.
Yeah. The beauty of youth and no responsibility.
Exactly.
Enjoy it while you can, man.
Yes, I am soaking it up in, you know, in the next couple of years, because pretty soon I'm not going to be able to do all this.
No. There'll be other things to do. There'll be other things.
Yep.
Like yesterday, I took my daughter to her first soccer practice, my youngest daughter to her first soccer practice. You know, this stuff, all this stuff comes about, and it's different, but it's equally rewarding. So,
exactly.
Where is it that, like, so when you go to pick a new predator, we start talking about it a little, you use Google Earth. What, and you said you look for big washes and stuff like that. What are you looking for, like, in the actual setup? Like, when you're walking around and you're saying, okay, I'm going to call from here, what is it that you're looking for?
You know, I've called with a lot of friends. I've called with a lot of different people. And, you know, they don't – probably 9 out of 10 people that I call with don't like the way I set up on predator stands. But, I mean, that's just – personal preference. But when I get out of the car and or when I'm, you know, when I'm driving down the road and I'm looking on off to the side of the road, what spots that will really catch my eye is high points.
Mm-hmm.
I like to sit up high, number one, because I don't know if others feel this the same way I do about this, but, you know, I've always felt that if you're above them, that maybe they might not smell you as easy. I don't know, you know, maybe that's just something I think. Maybe, you know, maybe others think that. But, if the wind's over top of them, then, you know, they can't smell you. So I like to get up high, get somewhere where I have, you know, 100 yards of, you know, 80 yards of vantage, you know, where I can see. I don't like calling with a rifle.
Mm-hmm.
9 times out of 10, I just won't do it, because I've tried to do it with a rifle, and I've called in so many coyotes that I've either missed or shot with a small caliber, like a 17, and they just run off. So the way I like to do it is, if I'm not on a high vantage point, I like to get up on the edge of a big wash. I don't like to get down in it, because that's their route to stay hidden, you know. That's where they run so that, you know, they can't be seen by, you know, you or anything else, and then they'll get as close to that call as they can, and that's when they'll pop out of that wash, and you better get the guns.
So what do you typically like to use? Shotgun or?
Yes, I always use my shotgun.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of shotgun. I typically nowadays, like really for the last several years, I only bow hunt.
Uh-huh.
And not that I got bored with it, I feel like it's a new level, new challenge. And
exactly.
You know, if I'm going to call him at the shotgun distance, I might as well be able to hit him with the bow. And I think it's good practice for other animals, you know, to be.
Yeah, I've
be quick.
I've tried a number of times with my bow to call, you know, killing predators, and for whatever reason, it just never happens. I've probably called 10, 12 foxes, and every time I miss them. Just it never fails. It just everything happens so fast, and you know you're kind of excited, and for whatever reason I can't connect.
You'll get there.
It'll happen.
You just it's really and that's what I was starting to get at. Like I use my predator calling to improve my shot or my target acquisition and being able to get off a shot faster. And accurately, obviously. And it's just, it's a matter of practicing that, you know, practice doing that stuff. And people say, oh, you got to develop, you know, shot panic and blah, 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 target panic or whatever. And, you know,
yeah.
I suppose you can, but
yeah.
I think when you're hunting, 9 times out of 10, it's like, okay, there's my shot opportunity. If I don't take it now, it's going to go. Unless you're in a ground blind or you're in a tree stand. And even that. So, I mean, those practices that I do actually came about from tree stand hunting in the rut, whitetail, because it was always a drive-by shooting.
Exactly.
You know? These bucks come chasing a doe by, trying to get them to stop is like, you know, you might as well jump out of the tree and go boo. Sometimes
exactly.
It's just, so yeah, I mean, and it translates the same thing with coyotes, like especially coyotes, not so much fox or bobcat, because they tend to come right to the call. And they tend to be very slow and methodical. Not always on fox will come charging in too, but they're a little more aggressive. A coyote will come running. And won't even stop. It'll, like, get around the call and just keep on going, you know?
Yeah.
And it's really literally a drive-by call.
Yeah. I mean, I've had a couple of them literally come in and bite the call, and they'll run 10 yards before they drop it.
Yeah. That's pretty funny. I found that happen too.
Get back here with my $500.
Exactly. I'm just waiting for the day one of them gets up, takes it far, but that's funny.
I know it.
Yeah.
It'll
I've had that happen a couple times. The first time that happened to me, I was hunting on the San Carlos, and I was like, what the? That's a good place. That's a good place to go predator calling, by the way, if you haven't had a chance to go there.
You know, that's one place I've always talked about with a couple of buddies, and for whatever reason, we've just never done it.
Yeah. Really good place. I mean,
they're
kind of wonky with some of their rules and regulations, but as long as you read all that stuff and stay on the up and up, you should be fine.
Yeah.
I had them confiscate one of my cameras.
Really?
Yeah. Because it really wasn't spelled out, and then I guess they don't allow you to do any commercial filming or whatever.
Yeah. That's what...
You know, this is years ago. It's probably 15 years plus ago. This is before.
Okay.
You know, a lot of this stuff was mainstream.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But what is it to go hunt there for a permit? I think, don't they sell day passes or some similar to that?
Yeah, I think your Predator is pretty cheap. It's like 20 or 30 bucks or something like that,
yeah.
and it's not a day, but it's like a, it's just a season pass or something, and then you
Okay.
just buy a, like it is a habitat stamp or something or other. But like I said, it's been time, some time since I've been there, but when we used to go often, it, you know, it's always plentiful. Bobcats, fox, coyotes. You
Yeah,
never know what you're gonna call them.
I might have to look
A lot
into
of
taking a
lions there
trip.
too.
Yeah, I will call one of those in one of these days here.
I've called it a few, and it always seems to be when I have my bow in my hand.
Oh,
And
cool.
I've never had them come in close enough. Always
Yeah.
hang up 100 yards, 150 yards. So yeah, but
They're smart.
yeah, I've had three, two. Two out out there by Globe and one over here in
Okay.
Fountain Hills.
Yep.
So walk
Yeah,
me
actually,
oh, go ahead.
well, I take that back. I called in one time with one of my buddies, and he had a rifle. We were actually glassing for deer, and we were sitting on this big point, and there was a big thicket with a creek bottom down below us, and it led up into these big hills, these big rolly hills. And I told him, I said, I'll turn on the Fox Pro, and it was getting dark. It probably wasn't smart to turn on the Fox Pro anyways, but yeah, you know, we're young and dumb, so we did it anyways. And about probably 5, 6 minutes in, I seen a bunch of deer run off out of this thicket, and probably 2 minutes later, here comes a lion, and he disappeared. And probably 10 minutes later, it got dark, and I told him, I said, "Let's go, dude. I don't want to be here anymore."
Yeah.
So we got out of there.
I'm pretty sure he probably shadowed you guys all the way back to the truck.
Oh, I'm sure he did, but that's all right.
He was looking for that dead deer you were carrying on your back.
Yeah.
So we started getting, you started saying you're looking for a spot that's above them. What other things? Do you look for funnels? Do you look for,
You know,
you know,
excuse me. You know,
backdrop.
you know, during in the real early morning, I don't tend to look for a backdrop as much. You know, I don't know why. You still should, because they can still pick you out. You know, if you're sitting on the top of a hill, they can still pick you out very easy. And that's one thing people don't understand. I go with new callers, and they ask, you know, "Oh, how come we can't sit on the top of the hill?" Well, they can pick you out. They can see you from shoot 500 yards away. They have great eyes. So, you know, in the middle of the day when it's hot and sunny, I will look for a backdrop. I'll sit, you know, halfway up the hill or so. A lot of the times, I don't know why, but I like to sit in boulders just because you blend in with a boulder kind of good, because you're big, you're a blob in the midst of a bunch of other blobs. So you kind of blend in really well there. And when I'm calling on the edges of washes, I just find like a big, depending on the area you're calling, if it's creosote or if it's oh, what am I trying to say here?
Skeet
Well,
or
anyway, if yeah, cedars or anything like that, just find a big tree and just sit your back up against it and sit still, and they won't see you that way.
right.
And I really like to sit on a chair. I bought a chair from Sportsman's Warehouse. I think it was like $6.99. It was the best $6, $7 I've ever spent in my life.
Yeah, what is it, like a turkey chair?
Yeah, kind of something like that. It just got three legs. It's just a little triangle chair.
Okay.
But it's just that extra, foot off the ground gives you so much more view over the bushes and everything else.
For sure. I know kind of some of the things that I look for. In the mornings, I like to have the sun at my back. One, because it blinds the coyotes when they're coming in, or predators when they're coming in. How do you like to have the wind? I'm curious. Are you a wind in the face guy, or?
You know, occasionally, most 90% of my stands, I'll have the wind in my face. Occasionally, I'll have the wind going from left to right. You know, it's just if I'm calling an area where I'm sitting up on a hill, and you know, it doesn't matter about a coyote coming in from behind me. The wind in my face is fine. That doesn't bug me. But if I'm sitting down, you know, near a wash, calling into a wash spot, or I'm calling a, you know, a big thicket, I kind of like to have a crosswind just in case a coyote or a fox or what have you comes in from behind me as well.
I tend to avoid wind in the face. Because I want, for me, I feel like more than 50% of the time, they come somewhat from behind you. And I know you can, with an e-caller, you can definitely manipulate that because you can face the call in the direction they, I feel like they come, they try to come to the side that has, well, I use a Fox Pro. So for me, they come to the horn side most often. But when I have wind in the face, one, you run the risk of having a mountain lion crawling up your back, which is not always not going to be fun. I've had a bear coming from behind calling. So, yeah, I try to keep the I use the wind in my face for approach, and then I set up with a perpendicular wind or, you know, side to left to right or right to left wind.
And and that,
honestly, so you're trying to get better at doing, I said, you want to get better at trying to get one with your bow or trying to get one with your bow. That's essential because then they come broadside.
Okay. And that's another huge thing that you brought up is the approach. Just because you're just walking to the stand doesn't mean you don't need to pay attention to the wind. You know, you still, I mean, from the minute you step out of that vehicle, you know, you want the wind to be right.
Absolutely. They're predators. They're like you. They're looking at all the angles and they live out there. They smell, they rely on, you know, their eyes and their nose and their ears to feed themselves.
Yeah.
As well as avoid danger, you know, because you're talking about fox. Fox get eaten by other predators all the time. So, you know, coyotes do too, not as, you know, regularly as fox do, but bobcats and, you know, they get eaten by bigger cats and in the hell they fight each other. They don't, they're very territorial. So approach is a big thing. I feel like another big thing about approach other than wind is also staying out of sight. Not skylining yourself, not, you know, because like you said, they can see really well. If they catch you 800 yards away, they see a glimpse of a person. They're not going to get scared and run, but then when you start calling, they're going to be like, I don't know if I should do that, you know?
Yeah.
You might get a young pup come in, but.
Yeah, or they could still come in and hang up, you know, at 400 or whatever yards. I've had that happen a couple times where I skylined myself and sat there and a coyote came in and he just sat there and he did the back and forth thing, you know, for 2 minutes at 400 yards and then he decided he didn't like it and that was it.
Yeah. That's frustrating. I guess that's good when you have a rifle at that point.
Exactly.
As long as you could shoot.
I got one buddy, his name's Travis. He uses, for some reason, that the only thing he will shoot is a .30-06. And he has shot that gun in some places where I almost wouldn't take a shotgun. I'd rather a pistol. Just because it's just so close. I'm like, dude, you're nuts. And he just always laughs. But But yeah, that's the only thing he will shoot is that 30-06. But I've never seen him lose a coyote before.
Oh. I bet.
We were actually up in 6A one time hunting turkeys, and I had killed my turkey like the day before or something, and we sat up on this big hill, and there was a big herd of elk down below us, and I told him, I said, I bet you there's a coyote going to come right up this hill, and it was a big, nasty hill, and we're sitting there, and I'm playing the call, and all of a sudden, the elk take off running, and all of a sudden, this coyote comes up the hill, and he shoots it with that 30-06 at, I kid you not, about 4 yards. That was, both of us were, we were laughing, and it was funny.
I bet. There probably wasn't much coyote left either.
There was nothing left of that one. You can, I mean, if you, you might be able to see that on one of my social media pages. He's on there with that coyote, and there's a big old hole in him.
I bet. My very first coyote ever shot was, I said, let's go coyote hunting. And I really hadn't called very much, but at this point, and I said, and we just kind of went still hunting, just walked slowly. Where I was out by Wickenburg.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, here goes this coyote crossing in front of me about 100 yards. And I just, you know, give him a little squeak, and he stopped, and I shot him with my 300 wind mag. Yeah, that was, needless to say, I never hunted coyotes with a 300 again. But
you probably found that one.
You want to laugh? I didn't recover that one. He got down
you
a hole.
Didn't.
Nope.
Oh,
I hit him a little far back and blew his guts out of him, and he was flopping around for, you know, a few seconds. So I looked down, and I had a problem with my bolt. I was trying to get another round into it, and then I look up, and he just jumped up and ran away, and he jumped down this hole, and I never got him.
That's not fair.
No, but there really wasn't anything. I mean, I disemboweled him. He was just like, oh, it was disgusting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
Anyhow, well, yeah, obviously, you know, you switch up calls and stuff like that, but walk me through a sequence of from the time you leave a truck to the time you set up, call you use, volume, cadence, wind, tell me how everything, yeah. And what your normal setup would be.
So my normal setup for any time of the year, for 90% of the year, pretty much any time but February and March, I like to, when I sit down, usually I'll sit there for 2-3 minutes and I'll just kind of let things settle down. And then I like to start off with, and all my buddies know this, my favorite call is woodpecker. Any woodpecker, it doesn't matter. That's just my favorite sound. And that's not my number one sound, but that's one I like to use a lot. I will always start off with that. And I'll play it at, you know, a moderate volume. My Fox Pro goes up to 40. I'm not sure what, you know, others, you know, the listeners' calls go to or whatnot. But I like to play it for about 2 minutes or so, and then I'll let it pause for roughly a minute. Sometimes I get a little antsy, and I'll only pause it for 30 seconds, and I'll keep playing. But I'll do that, like, 2, maybe 3 times. Usually I don't like to do more than 2, but it just completely depends on the stand and what I'm feeling. And then
right.
and then usually from there I go into like a bigger, like we talked about earlier, everybody uses the jackrabbit and the adult cottontail, but like I said, that doesn't mean it, you know, it won't work, because I actually use it pretty often. And I, like you said, I try and call places where, you know, people don't call, but in Arizona, it is so hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone's a predator hunter out here, but after that woodpecker, I'll go into like a baby cottontail. And occasionally I'll go into like a vole squeaks, something a little higher pitched than what the bird sound was. And that, if you want to call in a bobcat, a great sequence to do it with is, you know, a bird and then vole squeak, something high pitched, or baby cottontail. But for coyotes, I use, you know, whatever. It doesn't really matter. They're you know, opportunists. After that, I usually only like to do three sounds. Occasionally, I'll mix it up. Like this time of year, I'll do four or five sounds before I'm done with the stand. And most of those being vocals. And then I'll finish off a stand with like 3 minutes of woodpecker again. And usually, as I get further along in the stand, I'll kind of turn up the volume. My Fox Pro, it goes from 8 to 16. It goes up in intervals of 8. So there's not a whole lot of room to play with the volume. I kind of have to be careful. But one thing that you always want to make sure of when you get on stand, don't just sit there and turn it up to 40, because that coyote that's only 100 yards away sitting under that creosote could just turn around and just go the other direction because it's just, you know, scared the hell out of them.
Right.
And I'll make a stand. I have a bad habit of only making like 8 minute stands, just because I like the, you know, I feel like the more stands, the better. It just ups your opportunities, to call in a coyote, you know, be mobile, try different country if you can in a day, call the flats. And then, if it's fur season, you know, an easy animal to call in is usually a fox. So I tell people, if you want to go kill your first predator, go call in a fox. Go find some rocky country. They're not that hard to call in. But during, like, February, I will start off with a lone howl at about mid-range volume once again. And I'll usually sit there for 5, 6, 7 minutes after the howl. Just, you know, and the lone howl is just like a, hey, guys, I'm over here.
Do you use female or male?
Female lone howl.
Yeah.
I haven't played too much with the male lone howl just because I haven't really researched too much what that means. I know quite a bit about what the female sounds mean. But, you know, after that 7, you know, that 5 to 7 minute break period, I'll go into, you know, whatever distress sound, you know, I want at the moment. You know, it could be a woodpecker, could be a rabbit, and then I'll play that again for 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and I'll give it a pause, and then I'll continue, and then I'll give it a pause, and then I'll go into, once again, a bigger, or depending on the sound I just played, I'll go into a smaller, like a vole squeak. If I just played a rabbit, I'll go into a vole squeak. Or if I just played a woodpecker or a cranky M cardinal or whatever, I'll go into a rabbit. And basically, you know, lately I've liked all of my stands to finish out right around the 11 to 12 minute mark, just because
that's my sweet spot, 12 minutes.
Yep. Just, you know, and I don't know, you know, I hear a lot of guys like yourself, 11 to 12 minutes. But for me, for some reason, I always, always have them come in right around the 4 minute mark. That's my sweet spot.
Gotcha.
You know,
I'll play for 12 minutes, but that's not how long it takes. I feel like with coyotes specifically, coyotes and fox, I feel like I usually call them in the first 3 minutes.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, if I don't see a coyote come running in the first 3-5 minutes, yeah, you know, I can't tell you how many I've called in 20 seconds. You know?
Exactly.
Again, it goes back to picking the right spot, picking the right setup, you know, getting lucky and choosing a sound that gets them excited. But I always go 12 minutes either way. And those are the times I usually start seeing the bobcats and stuff. A lot of old timers that I've, you know, learned to call from,
and some of the really, prolific ballers out there, and the guys that win tournaments and stuff all the time, they always tell you 30 minutes for a bobcat. I just can't do it. I can't sit there for 30 minutes.
I can't do it either.
I've killed plenty of bobcats. I think, when I was doing it often, my best year, and this might not sound like a lot, but this is with the bow, I killed 6.
That's a lot.
But, there's guys out there with, firearms killing probably 6 in a week, the guys that are really, So I those are all, under 15 minute stands. I very, very rarely go over 15 minutes.
Yeah, that I killed my bobcat back in January. And that cat came in right at 4 minutes. I mean, exactly at 4 minutes. And I was calling probably 500 yards, 600 yards from the highway with my back towards the highway, calling the opposite direction, and the cat came in. And he actually came in from the highway.
Isn't that funny?
It's weird how that works. I mean, I'm sitting there, and I look over to my left, and here he comes, and I'm like, what in the world?
Yep. I've had the very, very first one I shot with my bow. It didn't really come from – it came somewhat from behind me. So if I was calling into this big wash, and I was sitting three-quarters of the way up the wash on one of the banks, and I'm looking down. I got – this is when I set up with a bow, I point the call in the direction where I think they're going to come from. Mm-hmm. And I set it typically down 20 yards from me and on an angle, let's say another 20 yards, maybe not 20, let's say 15 and 15. And, okay. And the reason for that is that they have to come past me to get to the call.
Yep.
So he came from my left, but he was way up he was further up the wash bank than I was. So when he came, he was above me, and he came down on an angle, and I just barely caught movement over my left shoulder, and I just sat there and waited for him to kind of slowly make his way, stalk his way down. And, I drew back. He turned and looked at me, and it was a little too late for him. But it's funny how they can come, looking. I mean, that can happen with anything. They could come from any direction. But I typically, I feel like coyotes only come from behind you. Not only, but most of the time will come from behind you when the wind is in your face.
Yep.
When it's side to side, they tend to always kind of circle in a little bit,
Yeah.
If you have the wind side to side and you got the call pointing side to side, they typically come from that and not have that crawl up your back.
Yeah. And the idea is to have them, to not have them come in from behind you, because it's usually when they come in from behind you and one of you, if there's two of you or whatever calling, and one of you realizes it, it's usually like, oh, damn it. And then it's, too late sometimes.
Yeah. Too late. More dangerous.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I was calling with a buddy one time in 37, and excuse me, and he had his AR, and I had a 22, and this was, this was 2-3 years ago when I just first started calling, and we're sitting there, and I had the call directly in front of us, and I was still learning. I mean, and he doesn't predator hunt, so I was still learning. I actually had the call pointed towards the quad. I think of it to this day, and I just laugh, like, what in the world? And we're sitting there, and 4 foxes came in from behind us, and he actually
four
of us. he realized it because he heard it breathing. It was standing directly behind him, and he turned around with that AR one-handed, and he just, I mean, both of us just went to guns. And he dumped, he shot, you know, quite a few rounds, and I shot quite a few myself, and we actually didn't kill a single fox.
Really? Yeah. Well, yeah. I've had those days, too. I called in a pack of, it was me and my buddy, we both had our bows. I called in a pack of like 20 coyotes.
Oh,
and they were just
God.
Dive bombing the call one after each other. I didn't kill a single one. I didn't kill a single one. I got one to stop, and when I went to draw back, I was sitting on a turkey chair and it collapsed right as I got the full draw. So, yeah, it's just one of those things. But
yeah.
We got all that on film, which is pretty cool.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I gotta dig that up. That's on tape somewhere. Old school.
I'd love to see that.
For sure. Well, that's all I got for you. If you, I'm gonna leave you with one opportunity to give us your three top tips for being successful out in the field.
My three top tips would have to be, number one, win. That's the biggest thing for any animal. You have to watch the wind, because the wind is their best friend. Other than their ears and their eyes, the wind is their biggest friend. And number two, I say it, but, you know, I don't practice it as much as I should. The more you scout, the more successful you're going to be. The more you go out and you look for, you know, water sources or rabbits or scat or just whatever it might be, the more successful you're going to be as a predator hunter. Number three would just – I got a few I could say for number three, but – my number three is actually going to be kind of a funny one. I'm going to go ahead and say, when you're calling with a buddy, this is after you've kind of gotten the hang of calling a little bit, you've shot your first coyote. When you're calling, you know, by yourself or with a buddy, if you call in one coyote, do not get up and start whooping and hollering and, oh, we smoked him. Turn on that pup distress, because 9 times out of 10, another coyote will come in.
Yep.
That's one thing we did not cover, but that's a big thing for predator hunting. Or if it, you know, even with foxes, turn a fox sound on, because another one will come in. I can guarantee you that with foxes.
For sure. Which fox pro do you have?
I have the Fury 2.
Okay. So do you have Fox Bang on that?
I do, yeah, but I've never used it, actually.
So you could set it up that when you shoot, it'll start playing that sound automatically.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely a feature that they have.
Yeah, it's a cool feature to have. Mine was set up on an elk bugle this weekend. I don't know why it was, but it was. We're sitting there calling, and this dog comes running in, and I jump up and fire my shotgun, and all of a sudden it just started bugling. I was like, what the hell?
That was Shane messing with you.
No. He was like, what the hell are you doing? I'm like, I don't know, man. I must have had it set up on that for whatever.
And one more thing I do have to say is, just because, you know, to the listeners out there, just because you and I are talking about, you know, $400 and $500 Fox Pros and whatever, that doesn't mean that a $50 iHunt speaker or a Fox Pro Wildfire or whatever, that doesn't mean that won't work. I called for 2 years. I just got this call 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. I called for 2 years with a $100 Foxborough Wildfire, and it did me just fine. So you don't need to have, you know, the top of the line, the best of it.
Yeah, for sure. It certainly helps to have a good quality call or good quality sound, but
it does.
You know, I mean, but I agree with you. I mean, I can't tell you how many I've called. I've called in with, you know, an elk diaphragm, you know.
I was just going to say that.
Squealing on an elk diaphragm. I always keep one because they're easy to carry around. They're, you know, they take up no room. I always keep it in there because I can make coyote yips with it. I can turkey call with it. I can elk call with it, of course. Mm-hmm. And you can make, you know, predator calls.
Yeah.
I mean, you could actually do a howl with it. I got one sitting right here. Let's see if I could do this without blowing your ear out here.
You're all right. Let's hear it.
It's an old one. It's not giving me good sound, but you could do a
sounds
little
better than sound.
Coyote howls with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not really working really great, but you get the idea. You can do all kinds of little. You can do all kinds of little sounds with that, you know, and definitely do predator sounds with it. You know, what do those cost? $7? $5?
Yep. Yeah, they're cheap.
So, yeah. Actually, the guy who showed me about those, I learned a lot about predator calling from, you know, the master himself. You know, Wayne Carlton. And, yeah, I spent a couple of days with him and he showed me a bunch of stuff. He actually told me how to, call in bear. That's kind of why I approached him. Because he's just a master calling in bear. And, I wanted to do that. I finally got one, you know, using a lot of his techniques and stuff like that. And, it's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome to call in bears. So,
I'm going to give it a shot this year.
Cool. Well, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Well, that's all I got for you, man. So tell everybody where they can find out more about you.
You can find me on Instagram at azgameslayers, or you can find me on Facebook at Kyle Wingo. That's my name. Or I occasionally will post on Broadhead Brotherhood, you know, whatever else, or on any of the Arizona Predator Caller pages, I post on there occasionally. Predator Country's a good page. That's run by one of my buddies, Carter. That's pretty much it.
Awesome. Cool, man. Well, thanks for coming on and talking shop with me.
Not a problem, John. I appreciate it.
We got to get out and go smack some dogs together.
We will for sure.
In the upcoming time. Yeah.
Yes,
awesome.
Sir.
I want to see. I want to get a lion. That's my new goal for calling in a lion. I've called them in before, but I really want to get one to come into bow range, and I want to get one with the bow badly.
I'm right there with you.
So, all right, brother. Well, I'll talk to you soon, and go look out there and look forward to seeing some more of your pictures this season.
All right, John. I appreciate you having me on.
All right, have a good one.